Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Well, good morning. Good morning. I'm Mike Gerhardt. I probably introduce myself every time. That's what I used to do. Pastor of 38 years, semi-retired now. Good morning. I hope you're awake. And this is Soap. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to start with an announcement because I'll probably do this in the beginning and at the end. There was a car accident that hit the building, a Fusion Church building at Egg Harbor Township, and it took out the electricity. We were there picking up and distributing the blessing bags, and the building is dark. Pray that it gets fixed. But this Sunday, August 31st, Fusion Church, Egg Harbor Township, will be meeting in the afternoon at 4 o'clock and 5:30 p.m., 4 o'clock and 5:30 p.m. at Fresh Start Church it's located on Ocean Heights Avenue, 1049 Ocean Heights Avenue. Fresh Start Church at 4 o'clock and 5:30 p.m. this Sunday, August 31st. There'll be no services at the Egg Harbor Township location for Fusion Church this Sunday. If you can help out, set up. They're looking for people to come early at 2 o'clock to help set up. All right, well, let's get to our study. We began, as I said, this study in 2 Timothy this week. And if you missed Monday and Tuesday, you missed Sean and Pastor John's introductory notes, as well as given the context of Paul's writing to Timothy, this very personal letter. And I believe these are Paul's famous last written words. I think this was the last epistle that he wrote. Just to recap, Paul wrote from a Roman prison. He probably was convicted of treason against Rome and was facing death by a beheading. He was not dying of a disease in a sterile hospital, surrounded by loved ones, except for measured visits from Dr. Luke. He was alone in a cold, dark, underground cell, cut off from the world, if you could picture it, writing letters to the churches that he planted and the people that he loved and influenced for Jesus Christ. And here he thought of Timothy, and this is probably one of at least two letters. Some might believe that there's three. He thought of Timothy as his son. Timothy took these letters to heart, I'm sure. After learning about the death of Paul, he must have read and reread every word of this letter, what we call 2 Timothy. And so should we. We should reread the scripture. For every time I read and study the scripture, I learn more and more about that exact same passage. The depth of scripture is unlimited. So let's begin with prayer. And Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the good weather we've been having these last few days. But we also pray for the services this Sunday at Egg Harbor Township Fusion Church. We pray, Lord, that even though we've moved to a new location for August 31st, pray, Lord, that the services will be pleasing to you. And we pray that the repair work will be done quickly. And we just thank you for this time in your word, that you would open our eyes to these truths that are found here. For each one of us are different, and each One of us might apply the scripture in a different way when we pray that we be open to that application today. As we pray this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, Amen and Amen. As I was looking at this, and I gave a simple outline. I want to give a simple outline to this also. Chapter 1 and 2, Paul is writing about the foundations for Christian service. Chapter 3 and 4, he then deals with the difficulties of Christian service. And I know that you probably heard pastors say this often, Pastor Brennan, that he sometimes it's bad Christians that really hurt the ministry. I have a book on my shelf, When Bad Christians Happen to Good People. And honestly, the church is really, really good on a Sunday morning. It's really good when everyone is filled with the Holy Spirit. But then later in the week, sometimes you'll run into a Christian that's not filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think Paul was trying to warn Timothy that there are difficulties when you're serving the Lord, even from Christians. So some of you are nodding. I think some of you know that. So let's look and let's dive into chapter 3, verses 1. I'm going to read verse 1 to 5, and then we'll talk. Paul writes, But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. Paul's reference to the last days always opens up a conversation. It's what's going to happen? What's going to happen? It reveals his sense of urgency. The last days, and I put this in quotes, the last days began after Jesus' resurrection when the Holy Spirit came in upon the believers at Pentecost. The last days will continue until Christ's second coming to this earth. This means that we are living in the last days. But so is Paul. So is Timothy. So was John and Peter, the writers of the New Testament. They were living in the last days. Nothing in this world, and a lot of people read the news and the circumstances of the world, nothing in this world is going to change the fact that Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back soon. And we are living in the last days. I'm often asked, with Israel and all that's going on in the wars, Pastor, are we living in the last days? My answer is usually the same. Yes, we've been living in the last days since Pentecost. Peter and John, they were living in the last days too. So get ready, Christ is returning. All right. Well, let me not just say this also. In some parts of the world, being a Christian is not especially difficult. People aren't jailed for reading the Bible or executed for preaching Christ. We live in a country that gives freedom to that. However, this kind of persecution is very real for many believers today. And I've pointed this out in North Africa, in obviously China, Russia, other places like North Korea. Christians are being persecuted, even just for having a Bible or preaching Christ. Paul's descriptive list of behavior in the last days describes most of our society. But you know what? It also describes the behavior of Christians, many Christians. And as Paul is trying to tell Timothy, sometimes you'll find these people in your church. And he's saying they have this form of godliness, but they deny its power, have nothing to do with such people. That's very harsh. As you look at this list, why don't you check your life against this list? Are you out of control? Are you unforgiving? Are you disobedient to your parents? That always gets me. He lists that in Romans right next to murderers. Murderers and people who just are disobedient to parents. It's sin. And we need to look at our lives and try to see if we are part of that group of people. I would say this to every Christian: don't settle for comfort and prosperity in this world. Take time to stand up against evil by living as God would have you live. Here's something to think about. Why is it so tempting to love pleasure than to love God? I mean, I know I love pleasure. I mean, I have a great time snow skiing, or I have a great time watching good movies. I love pleasure and enjoyment of games and things like that. Why don't I love God more? Why is it so tempting to go for the pleasures of this world than the pleasure of sitting with God and just praying with Him and enjoying His Spirit? Pleasure is something I think that we can control, and we need to be careful how we seek pleasure. Pleasures benefit us now. It's instant gratification. Pleasure has a narcotic effect. It takes our minds off of ourselves and our problems. Pleasure also cooperates with pride. Look what I can do. I can set aside this month and take off, have vacations. It makes us feel good about ourselves and in the eyes of others. Have you chosen to love God more than the pleasures of this world? And how would you know that? Well, you would know it about your boundaries. Where are your boundaries? Okay, I know this is a lot, but we want to get into that verse. Having verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. I don't know why. That form or appearance of godliness includes going to church, knowing Christian doctrine, using Christian cliches, following Christian traditions. Such practices can make a person look good, but the inner attitudes of faith, love, and worship, and being spirit-filled and spirit-motivated are lacking. The outer appearance, when God looks at us, our outer appearance is meaningless. He looks at our heart. Paul warns us not to be deceived by people who only appear to be Christians. At first, they may be difficult to distinguish, but instead of investing time, we need to invest time into knowing them better. Instead of investing time in trying to figure them out, we need to have put that energy in getting them involved in our lives. And if they deny the Holy Spirit's power, then stay away from them. That's what Paul's saying, not only to Timothy, but to us. Let's pick it up in verse 6. They are the kind who worm their way into homes, gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Wow. Let's stop there. Verses 6 and 7. Because of the cultural background at Ephesus, women had received no formal religious training at that time. They really, really enjoyed their new freedom, that they could actually study the truths of Christians. They could be together. They could speak in church. They could get together and form groups and talk to each other. This was new to the culture, Christian faith and Christian churches were different because the women were involved. New believers needed to grow in their knowledge of the word. And so they had these times of teaching. Paul warned Timothy to watch out for men who would take advantage and teach doctrines that maybe would be wrong and adverse to the Christian doctrine. This verse, by the way, is not opposing studying and learning for women or studying and learning for men, but it is warning about ineffective learning. Let me just say it this way. Let's go to a Bible study just because it's a Bible study. It's possible to be a perpetual student and never graduate your theory and putting it into practice. Honest seekers of the truth, honest people who study the Bible, true students, look for ways to put into practice what they learn. Remember this whenever you study God's word. As we talk about soap, we talk about scripture, observation, application, and prayer. Putting the truth to work, seeking to find God's truth and God's will, and then do as he says. So that's the warning. Don't go to Bible studies just for Bible study's sake. Go to Bible studies to learn to serve God. And then he even points out in the writing to Timothy, verses 8 and 9, but just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. And I would hope that would be true. The sad thing is the history of Christianity has been filled with teachers that teach doctrine that are not found in the scriptures. According to tradition, Jannes and Jambres were two of the magicians who had counterfeited Moses' miracles before Pharaoh in Exodus 7. Now, Paul explained that just as Moses had exposed and defeated them, God would overthrow the false teachers who were plaguing the Ephesian church. You know, it's interesting to me that when churches grow, and that is a great thing, as they grow and grow and grow, there are more avenues of people that can come in and teach. And as churches like Fusion does, they do a background check. They have an interview. They want teachers, people who are going to teach and handle the word of God, to be vetted. And I believe that we need to do it more and more often in this day and age. You know, we can hide our sin for a while, but eventually the truth will be revealed. Sooner or later, we will be worn down and our true hearts will be exposed. You know, again, adversary that happens in our life sometimes reveals our faith. When things go really, really wrong, when emergencies come, do we question God and argue with God and even curse God? Or do we trust God even more in those emergencies? Live each day as if God is real and God is on your side and God wants all things to work out for the good, his plan, not always your plan, but his plan. Now is the time to change that attitude in your life so that you can live for him, not for yourself. All right. Paul's writing again to Timothy, and in verse 10, he says, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions and sufferings, what kinds of things that happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, the persecutions I endure, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them." Now, this is interesting because the Lord did rescue him. But in Lystra, Timothy's hometown, Paul had been stoned and left for dead. By the way, that is a very painful thing to have someone throw stones at you until they think you're dead. And this wasn't the only incident. It was one incident of many. 2 Corinthians 11, Paul summarizes his lifetime of suffering for the sake of the gospel. Paul mentioned his suffering here, and he said, "The persecution I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them." Sometimes the Lord's rescue is going home to be with Jesus. I've seen people in such pain in the hospital, and the deliverance that I prayed for was a deliverance to go home to heaven and be with Jesus. Paul is saying that he's rescued from all of them, and one day he will be rescued from the pain and suffering of this world. You know, Paul mentioned his suffering here to contrast his experience with the pleasure-seeking false teachers, the ones that were invading the church in Ephesus and claiming promises from the Bible that weren't promises, and claiming that there's no such thing as sickness and there's no such thing as pain. And again, these things that the church at Ephesus was dealing with. Let's pick it up in verse 12. Verse 12, it says, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." Well, in this charge in verse 12, Paul told Timothy, the people who obey God and live for Jesus will be persecuted. By the way, don't be surprised about that. Jesus said that we would be persecuted. Many times in Scripture, the Christians are persecuted. Don't be surprised when people misunderstand you or criticize you or even try to hurt you because of what you believe or how you live. But don't give up. Continue to live as you know you should. God is the only one you need to please. Don't expect false teachers and people to reform and change their view. You know, again, I've often want to see a person's heart change when I'm talking to them about Jesus, but that doesn't always happen. You know, left alone, yes, they will go from bad to worse. If you have the opportunity to bring them to faith in Christ, do that. Fight for the truth, especially to protect younger believers from those evil teachers Wait, take a break. My nose has been running off my face, and I've got this cold that I'm dealing with. So we'll get through this. I hope I will get rid of the cold soon, very too. All right, let's pick it up. Verse 14. 14 says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learn it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Wow, he knew the scriptures, and we talked about that in chapter 1 and 2, from the time he was born. What a blessing to be brought up in the Word. Let's look at this for a second. The false teachers and the natural pressures of a growing ministry, Timothy could easily have abandoned his faith or modified his doctrine. Again, I think every pastor has someone in the church that's going to come and say, "You know what? I don't think we should talk about that topic anymore. I think it's not a popular topic. I think, you know what? I think your sermons are too long. I think your sermons are too long, Mike." And I think, in order to get people in the church that will stay, you should get it down to about a 5-minute devotional. There are a lot of things that we could change to make the person on the outside, the non-Christian, feel better in church. But we can't do that. We can't change the doctrine. We can't change the Bible. We can't skip passages of scripture because, oh, they're a little bit difficult. Timothy became a Christian not because an evangelist preached a powerful sermon over the TV, but because his mother and his grandmother had taught him as a small child. A parent's work is very important, and like Timothy's mother and grandmother, do our part in leading children to Christ. Whether you're in the church and it's some other child, or whether it's your neighbor's children or your children or your grandchildren, read them the sacred writings. Teach them about Jesus, and do all you can. Because of the last verse of last 2 verses of chapter 3. I love these 2 verses, and this is worth memorizing. Verse 16, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is not a collection of stories, fables, myths, or human ideas about God. It is not a human book. It is a Holy Spirit, God-breathed book. God reveals his person, his plan. He reveals how he loves us. It's historical. It talks about events that actually happened. The whole Bible is God-inspired. Because it is inspired and trustworthy, we should read it and apply it and help it guide our conduct. Apply it to our lives. When we think of scripture, or somebody told us, or even just the Ten Commandments, when we go to lie to somebody or bear false witness, we'll say, "Well, the Bible says we're not supposed to do that." Again, here's a question for us all. How much time do we spend in God's Word? Now, a lot of people will tell me, "Oh, I'm not a good reader. I'm not a good reader. Okay, I'm not a good reader. I have a hard time reading. I start reading scripture, I fall asleep." Try listening to scripture. Have someone else, on your phone, just have them read the scriptures to you. There's many apps that will read the scripture to you. Read it to discover God's truth, or just to be familiar with what God has said for you, to you. Our zeal For the truth of Scripture will increase the more we get to know our God in a personal way. Take time to measure how much time you spend reading the Bible or listening to the Bible, in the difference in listening to the world. And we need to focus on God's Word. It is not a useless piece of old traditions and myths. It is God's word to us. So let's take some time for prayer, and I hope you have a blessed day, and let's pray for a blessed day to live generously and righteously for Christ. Let's pray. Father God, I think of these words of the Apostle Paul. Basically, his last written words to Timothy. And, I wonder what we would write to our sons and daughters, or maybe our if we're an aunt and uncle, or our nephews and nieces, what we would write to them if we were about to die. What would be important to say to them? Lord God, I pray that we would take the words that Paul wrote to Timothy the same way. These are the times that we need to apply the scriptures and live them out in a Christ-like way, so that more people would come to the truth and the truth would set them free. And I pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said, Amen. And amen. My name is Mike Gerhart, and I hope your life is a faith-filled adventure. Amen. Amen.